Welcome to Orange Sunday. All month we've been talking about practicing what matters the most, practicing hearing from God, practicing praying to God. Today we are going to talk about practicing talking about God. So we are going to focus on talking today, but while Story George comes, we're going to put on our quiet lips, keep quiet, we're going to listen. Guys, this is Bridge Kids. We are interactive. They're children. We don't sit still very long. We're definitely not quiet. So if you guys see something, hear something you like, it's okay to clap. It's okay to laugh. We're interactive. Online family, drop in the chat, amen, hallelujah. We're interactive. Don't be quiet, y'all. It's okay. It's all right. So with that, we're going to welcome Storyteller George to the platform. We're grateful you are here. Thanks for coming back.
Good morning, everyone. So today, everyone in here, no matter how old you are, you get to be a Bridge Kid, okay? All right. So I'm going to treat you all like kids. Because that's what we all are, truly are kids in the name of God, aren't we? You see, when Jesus was here on earth, a lot of people used to ask him questions. It's like, all the time, people were going to Jesus to ask questions. But sometimes, Jesus would ask questions, too. And so one day, he was traveling with his disciples, and they were going from Galilee to a town called Caesarea Philippi. That's a hard one to say. You don't have to remember that. But he decided he was going to ask all of his disciples a question. And so if you look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says that Jesus went to the area and he asked his disciples. And it says, quote, "Who knows who Jesus was speaking about when he said the Son of Man?" So he asked them, "Who is the Son of Man?" And you think to yourself, that should be an easy question. Who's the Son of Man? It's a good answer. Paying attention. See, the disciples didn't get the same answer, though. They were a little confused about it. And so, actually, one of them said, I don't know, John the Baptist. So, hey, John the Baptist was a great man. He did a lot of good things. He spoke in the Word of God. He was bringing people to Jesus and to God. Not a bad answer. One of the other disciples said, I don't know, how about Elijah? Well, Elijah certainly was a great prophet. He spoke in the name of God as well. He did a lot of good things. Another disciple responded, I don't know, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus is taking it all in, thinking of what he's saying. And I know this seems a little bit confusing. Why would people say that Jesus was someone else? Well, they were really comparing Jesus to these other godly people that had done a lot of good things for the church. And they were kind of just comparing them along those lines. But Jesus kind of knew that they were confused about what he was asking them. So if you turn to chapter 16 in Matthew, verse 15, you'll see what the next question Jesus decided to ask the disciples. He says, but what about you disciples? He says, who do you say I am? They thought about it for a bit. And one of the disciples said, well, we've seen you walk on water. Another disciple said, I saw him feed 3,000 people with his kids' lunch. Another one spoke up and said, we've seen you heal people that were almost dying, people that were dead. We've seen you heal countless people. And finally, one of them got it. Peter spoke up and he said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Well, Peter really knocked it out of the ballpark with that answer. He was exactly right. You see, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son, the living Son of God. Check out what Jesus had to say in his response. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. No mere human showed you who I am. My Father up in heaven showed you who I am. Here's what I tell you, Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. You see, he was setting his disciples up for talking about God. Jesus was pretty happy about this. He knew that they didn't really totally understand the big picture, but he wanted them to know who he was and who he had been, why he was sent here on earth to talk about God. So he was pretty pleased with their responses. And as I wrap up my story today, it was a good thing that Peter had the courage to speak up and say something. And that's what we're trying to do in Bridge Kids right now, is all of you kids here, we want you to speak up. We want you to talk about God. Right? That's right. Talk about God. Don't be afraid to speak up, because it's the people that are afraid to speak up, those words are held in when somebody could be right next to you that could need to hear the words that you should be saying. So don't sit still and be quiet. We have to train. We got a training plan we're working on. And that training plan in Bridge Kids is to speak up and talk about God. The bottom line today's story is practice talking about God. So if I can have all of you kids that are here today say this with me all together, let's say it so that the whole Indian Head area can hear us. Ready? One, two, three. Practice talking about God. Well, that was pretty good, but I'm not sure the fire department heard us. We have a pause. He must have heard us. He must have heard us talking back there. So every week when you come to Bridge Kids from now on, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be practicing talking about God. All right? So I want everyone to say the final prayer with me, and we'll get on with the show. Okay. It's a good thing we're not filming this one. So, all you boys and girls and Bridge Kids, follow with me. Dear God, thank you for letting us hear about this important conversation between Jesus and his friends. It's really cool how Peter had the courage to speak the truth that Jesus is your son and our Savior. Please help us be courageous, just like Peter. Help us speak up and talk about you and all of our with our family and friends. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Awesome job. Let's give it up for George, the storyteller. Whoop, whoop. Also, the lights are just joining in on Orange Sunday. They have a mind of their own this morning, so it is all good. Yeah, see what I mean? They're just happening. So listen, this week our kids and us are talking about God, right? But they build on that story all month long. So one week they built with a block of hearing and listening. The next week, praying. This week, talking. And then next week, they'll go over what it means to live for God. And all those things work together to help us run the race. All those things work together for us to help run out that race in the kingdom of God with endurance. And it reminds me of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us throw off every weight that slows us down. Let us especially throw off the sin that trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Like, we don't have to build a relationship with Jesus, y'all. We want to work in it. But Jesus brings a relationship to us, and then we get to work with him. Jesus initiates our faith. So it says, because Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. What was the joy awaiting Jesus? Jesus came to offer eternal life. The joy awaiting Jesus. Jesus endured the cross for the joy of having a relationship with us. Jesus endured the cross for the joy of getting to work and walk with us, to invite us in. And so it says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now he invites us, guys, to be seated in the place of honor with him. And so just a couple thoughts as we're all in this run the race, 5K, run the race. Some things occurred to me, right? Like when you run, so 9 years ago, I did a half marathon. It was crazy. I'm not built like a runner. That's okay. We'll get to that in a minute, right? But you don't do that just on a whim. You don't do that without training up, right? You don't do that without, like, the first time I went out and did more than 8 miles, I got all these cramps in my legs. My trainer's like, what are you doing? You got to have water with you. You can't run more than 8 miles without water. Like, you need water with you. And it reminds us we can't run the race of endurance without the water of the Holy Spirit that we get through prayer. As we hear God, as we listen for God, as we talk to God in prayer, and the Spirit is that living water that wells up inside us. You go past 10 or 11 miles, you need these little things called shock blocks, right? It's like sugar, energy. I don't even know what's in it, but I know if you go past 10 miles, you need some of those things. But that's for us as believers, that's the Word. Like, we can't run the race on our own. Without the Word, we can't get the Word once and think that we're going to go face a big trial, a long enduring race, and not feed on that Word, not get built up on that Word, not take that Word in to nourish us on the regular. We have to have that so that we can run with endurance. And we need to understand that it's not all about us. Like, this first, second, and third place, like, that's really awesome as we run the race. But our goal as believers isn't to jump up in the first place block. It's to come alongside somebody and take them up there with us. 9 years ago when I went to do this half marathon, I had this awesome trainer, great Christian woman, love her. She moved to Miami. I hate Florida, or I might have tried to get Rick to follow her. But just not my jam in the heat. I can't do it. But she was fantastic. And she encouraged, I remember the first time she said, Jen, we're going to go. Like, one of our friends she's a leap year baby, and she wanted to do the Disney Princess Half Marathon for her birthday, for her leap year birthday. And I was like, Tanya, have you looked at me? Like, svelte marathon runner, I am not. Like, I am overweight. I have asthma. I don't run. I've never run more than 4 miles, Tanya. There's no way I'm running 13.1 miles, right? But Tanya was like, you can do it. Come run. Let me run beside you. Let's just go out one day. We ran. We trained, and then we went out and we ran. We ran 4 miles, and then we ran 5 miles, and then we ran 7 miles. I went out on my own to do that 10 miles and got all the cramps. And she was like, what are you doing? You need water. Don't go out by yourself to do that. But she walked beside me. She ran beside me. She encouraged me to do what I didn't think I could do. And as believers, guys, we already have the prize. Oh, yeah. As believers, we have the medal already. Yeah. But we're here to run the race with endurance because we need to come alongside people who think, I can't do that. Oh. Who think, I don't know, like, is that God thing really real? Like, I don't think it's real. Let me show you how real it is. Or I think my past is my asthma. My shame is my extra weight I'm carrying. I can't run that race. I don't have that in me. And we have to get beside them and say, yes, you can. Let me run with you. Let me go beside, like, let me tell you. Let me show you. Let me live it out in front of you. And so a couple months later, after all that training and all that enduring, Tanya just didn't take me. She took three other people. Five of us went to Disney World to show up at 3 o'clock in the morning to run this crazy race, right? 13.1 miles. And it was awesome, like we did it. There was this huge feeling of joy, and we got to the end, and somebody was taking a picture, and Tanya had us all in the picture. And what I realized in that moment was Tanya ran a half marathon like every other month. It was crazy. She had a wall of medals. And as she was in the picture with us and then stood back and took our picture, I realized that for Tanya, it wasn't about her getting another medal. For Tanya, it was about bringing us alongside of her and seeing us get our prize, seeing us know what we could accomplish, seeing us live above what we thought we could ever do. And that is what our mission is as Christians, is to run the race with endurance, to live it out in a way that's authentic, to pursue God. We got to be built up. Look, I can't come run beside you if I'm not built up myself. I can't train you up if I'm not steeped in prayer. I can't run beside you with endurance if I'm not in the Word. But it's not about me anymore. It's about extending the invitation to the people around us to run the race, to get the prize. It's not even about us being up here. It's about us putting them right here, right up in the top spot. Because Jesus came so that we could all somehow, in some miraculous way, share the winner's block together. Share the winner's block together. So with that, I actually want to invite Mary to come back up because God gave her a word yesterday. And so this pastor doesn't need to finish this message.
Hey, guys. We're a little tangled there. Oh. All right, so I want to take us back to our storytelling scripture. So we're going to take it back to Matthew 16. And I just want to walk us through a couple of verses that really just stood out to me. But I want to remind us, commitment is making a plan and putting it into action. So before we even start this task, the adults in the room know a lot of times we'll commit to something. We're like, yes, we get started, we're excited, we're pumped. We're like, let's do this. But then you hit some rough spots, right? And the rough spots will take you off track a little bit. And you're like, all right, my run done turn into a little walk. And then you hit another spot and you're like, all right, I'm crawling here. So I just want us to keep that in mind as we move forward and talk about these verses, right? Because what we don't realize is there is significance in everything that we do. Everything that we do matters. What I like to tell parents when y'all come into Bridge Kids is what we do each week matters. It all adds up. Little things turn into big things, right? So we're just going to go back into the passage, and I'm going to share with you guys a little of what I got out of it as I reviewed it. So if you'll look in verse 13 with me, at the end of it, it says, Jesus asks, who do people say the Son of Man is? And what stood out to me is Jesus is asking the disciples, What the people around them are saying. So we get in these positions, right? We're not really in the conversation, but these people are talking. So my question for you guys is, what are you guys talking about? Who are you guys talking about as you guys are going throughout your daily lives? Circumstances will have us talking some crazy stuff. Yeah. And so just keep that question with you as we move forward. In verse 14, the disciples replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So what we don't read here is that the disciples are having conversations with these people. They're just around, and they're hearing what the people are saying, right? So people are around you when you're in the grocery store, when you're at work. They may not be talking to you, but they're listening to what you say. They're watching what you do, and we talk about we're Christians. We say we believe in God, but is our conversation and what we say, what we do, is that lining up with what our mouth is saying? So then I want to take us down to verse 15. And Jesus says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Very direct question. And what I never gathered before was this was posed to all the disciples. Like, who do you say that I am? And yet Peter's the only one bold enough to say, this is who I think you are. A lot of times we have the right answer in our head. We have a thought, but we lack the boldness to say what it is that we're supposed to be saying or what we know to say. We cower back and we're like, but they may think. They may look at us some type of way. So then I want to take us down to verse 20. And the verse reads, then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And what stood out to me is, here the disciples are in front of Jesus. The only one bold enough to speak out is Peter, and yet he tells them not to tell. So it was interesting. They weren't even telling Jesus who he was. Like, but yet they're being told, don't tell, right? But y'all, we have permission to tell. Like, we should be shouting from the mountaintops. Like, we have permission to tell. What I loved is a few weeks ago, Pastor Jen taught us that as we were looking at go make disciples, right? And she said, as you go, where you go, when you go to make disciples. My kids, that includes y'all. Like, you guys, we are equipping you guys to do the very thing that we as adults are supposed to be doing. So in order to do this, we have to talk about God. But before we can start talking about God, we need to commit ourselves, right? So just share with you guys, May is a special month for me. It's not my birthday, it's okay. But it is my birthday. So I like to pause throughout the month and just reflect on where I was 13 years ago. It was 13 years ago I was living life and not making good choices. But I had a co-teacher who was committed. I mean, y'all, committed. Where she went, whoever she was around, she was committed to talking about God. She was committed to talking about Jesus. Ooh, they're made for some intense conversations in the classroom. But something happened. After months of talking, her talking to me, I wasn't really talking. I was like, girl, please be quiet. But she wasn't. Praise God, she was not quiet. But one Saturday night, she calls and she's like, hey, do you want to go to church tomorrow? And you know what? I got a wild hair and said yes. So I went to church the next day. And then a week later, I went back. And it was that week, the second week, where I committed my life. I committed, Lord, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want to do in my life, like, it's yours. It's been a crazy journey. So I just want to, but the commitment was there. And even when it gets hard, I might be crawling. Like, sometimes it's an army crawl, y'all. But the commitment still remains. Like, it's putting it into practice. What I love about kids, right, you watch babies as they start to pick their heads up and they start to crawl. And then you see them start to want to rise up and walk. When they fall, we don't sit there and go, just give up. Let that be. You ain't ready for that. Yet as adults, we do that. As adults, we sit there and we're like, I messed that up. I'm done. Y'all, raise your hand. That is me. Like, I broke it. I can't fix it. Right here. That is me. But today, I want to just offer an opportunity for us to commit. Some of you guys, it may be that you need to commit to God. And so you guys received a card as you came in. If you did not receive a card, raise your hand. We'll get you a card. And what I like to do when I make a commitment to God, I like to write it down. I like to date it so I always have something to go back to. So maybe for some of you, you heard some of my story and you can relate, and you need to commit to a relationship with Jesus. Maybe some of you guys, you need to stop, you need to commit to stopping long enough to hear Jesus. Maybe some of you guys, you need to commit to a better prayer life. Or maybe your commitment is to talk to people about God. Maybe you just became a closet Christian, didn't even realize it happened, you know? Some of you guys, you may need to commit to living your life for God. But we're going to have just a time of quiet, and then we're going to have some worship. But I, if you decide to make a commitment today, whether it's one of these four words, or maybe there's something God's been working on you and you started strong. Maybe it's a change of life of some sort or trying something different. And you need to say, today is the day I'm going to recommit. I would like you to just make note of that on your card. And it's not for you guys to give to us. We would love to pray for you. But it's for you. So you have it there to remind you when you get discouraged, when it gets hard, to remind yourself. And then for you guys in the room, if you make a commitment, feel free to go grab a medal off the wall just so you have something else tangible in your hand. So when it gets hard, when it gets bumpy, you go back and you remember when. I remember when I got this medal. I remember when I committed to this thing in my life. So we're just going to have a moment. I want to invite you guys to just write on your cards, take a medal, and just make today the day. Whatever that change may be for your life, whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to change, make today the day. Don't put it off. Y'all know how we get. We put it off and then we're like, I'm going to come back to that. No, make today the day. We want to give you space and opportunity to do that. So, worship team.
Father, thank you for the word that you gave today through all three speakers. Thank you, Father, that it reminds us that we have an obligation, a compelling permission to tell. God, thank you for bringing something to mind when we were asked to recommit something. So whatever it is that came to mind, whatever it is that we wrote on the paper, whatever it is, God, that we're recommitting to you, God, we pray that we do so, that we endure, that we continue to throw off the things that are stopping us from doing it, that if we've fallen or paused or been lax, that you would just empower us to get back up and try again. God, we begin again today. We begin again today. Thank you that you are a God of second and third and fourth and 99 chances, God. So we commit again today, that thing that you've brought to our mind, that you've put in our hearts. And God, we ask that you would fan the flames, God, that you would stoke the fire within us, God, so that we would indeed run alongside someone else, so that we would make an impact, so that we would see someone else be made a disciple. In the name of Jesus, we pray.